relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom. The good Lord does work in mysterious ways, especially when it comes to the tools he chooses, the people here on earth who help actually spread his message. If you read the Old Testament especially and the New Testament, there are examples of fallen men and women who were chosen by God to be the vessels of his message and his grace. And sometimes even in politics, the strangest things can occur. Here's a little clip from the March for Life. I was there. It was a very cold day here in Washington, D.C. And the first president ever, the first Republican president ever to address the March for Life whilst he was president was my former boss, President Trump.
All of us here today understand an eternal truth. Every child is a precious and sacred gift from God. Together, we must protect, cherish, and defend the dignity and the sanctity of every human life. When we see the image of a baby in the womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation.
Where has that language gone? The majesty of God's creation. American politics used to be replete with biblical language. Are we turning things around? What is the state of this spiritual battle? Let's talk to a man who's been fighting it for many, many years with his Jesus series of books. He's with his new, brand new co-author. It is David Limbaugh. The book is The Resurrected Jesus, and his co-author is his daughter, Kristen Limbaugh. David, Kristen, welcome to America First.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
So let's start with this, you know, who the Lord chooses to be his receptacles of his wisdom, his truth here on earth. This book focuses on St. Paul and, six or seven of his key epistles. Let's start with, why did you choose an individual, a Roman citizen, a Jew who had persecuted Christians as the subject of your latest book, David?
Because he was Christianity's foremost evangelist, the least likely person to be such a central figure because he was a persecutor of Christians when they started. But the real reason is because these books, and this book in particular, is an examination of the seven epistles, the prison epistles that he wrote while he was under house arrest in Rome, four of those, and then the three pastoral epistles he wrote to his colleagues, his understudies, Timothy and Titus. And we go through those chapter and verse, either stating the verse directly, verbatim, or paraphrasing it, then adding our insights, adding our own commentary, adding commentary from some of the greatest biblical scholars alive and already past. And what we've done in this book is to add a new element, and that is prayer interspersed throughout the text, because Kristen is, not to embarrass her, a spirit-filled prayer warrior. She has a facility for prayer, and I thought when I asked her to do this, in addition to enhancing the text proper, that her adding these prayers and then me interacting with her too and editing them and adding a few of my own things would make this a combination Bible study and devotional, and would allow the readers to interact with Scripture and with this book and get way more out of it than they otherwise would. So I'm really excited to have brought her along in this project.
Well, Kristen, you have the heavy burden of the last name Limbaugh, your great uncle Rush, your father, who's written numerous, the Jesus on Trial, seminal work, the Emmaus Code and others. Tell us about this experience of being now a father and daughter writing team. Walk us through what it was like to write the resurrected Jesus.
Well, I was thrilled when Dad invited me to be part of this process. He's had so much success with his former books, and he's always encouraged me as a writer. So to put his money where his mouth is, so to speak, and bring me in on his success was truly humbling. And the writing process was such a growing experience for me. Dad is just a total machine when he writes and when he researches. I mean, I've never seen anyone go through the amount of material that he does and come up with such a product that's so accessible to lay readers and people who are searching to deepen their faith and their understanding. So we would talk on the phone every single day. I live in Texas. He's in Missouri. So it was a lot of long phone calls, but we did the editing process together. We researched together and gave each other so much feedback. And really the whole thing was such a learning and enriching experience for me.
All right, David, let's set the scene. This is very soon after Jesus's death, crucifixion, and resurrection. It's up to put ourselves in the position of the apostles and the disciples, given what Christianity would grow into and the fact that it actually took over the Roman Empire. But what were the challenges? Talk to us about what St. Paul faced right at the beginning when he's trying to spread this message, not just to the Jewish community, but to Gentiles. There were lots of problems, were they not? And also, especially in the field of heresies.
Yes. Well, he encountered difficulties inside and outside the church, and he tells about his struggles and the adversities, and that's I think an encouraging thing about Christianity. And you alluded to it in your setup. It's not a book about perfect people. That the Bible writers, the New Testament writers, and the Old Testament tell their warts and all, which I think makes it more believable. Paul, even though he ends up being the foremost evangelist, had these issues himself, and he tells about the times he is whipped and beaten and by the Roman authorities, by Jewish authorities, whatever, but he persisted, and he did it by relying on God. And he knew in the end that his hope in Jesus Christ and his knowledge of his assurance of his salvation would lead him through. As to the heresy issue, Paul planted all these churches in the Mediterranean basin and elsewhere. And as soon as he would plant them, he would teach early Christians how to be pastors and how to be deacons and leaders in the church. He'd set up the framework for leadership in the church, and he'd tell them correct doctrine. Then he would leave and go to the next one. Then he'd go to the next one. Now, their travel was slow, so it wasn't like there was any efficient way to do this. After he had left, after some time, and he wrote these, I mean, he wrote these letters, maybe even in the 30s or 40s, shortly, the same decade that Jesus lived and died in. And so very early, even before the Gospels, he wrote, even though they appear later in the Bible. So he gets word that these early churches are deviating from correct scripture, from the doctrine. False teachers have entered in. It deeply troubles him. It's not some magic thing just because God is behind his effort, which he obviously is. We're human beings, and we're failed human beings, and we're subject to the temptations of the flesh, our internal sin nature, and from external forces. So these false teachers came in and preached such things as we have to add back Jewish rituals. It's okay, you can have faith in Christ for salvation, but you also, it's necessary for you to be circumcised or for you to follow the Jewish dietary laws. So Paul says emphatically not. Faith, salvation is by faith alone in Christ. Fine with me if you want to obey those laws. Fine with me if you want to be circumcised. But don't you dare say that what you do has anything to do with your salvation, because that's spitting on the finished work of Christ on the cross. Christ would not have condescended to human form and gone through all the hell he went through, been persecuted, killed for us if he hadn't needed to. But we have a God who loved us so much, he became a human being, and he'll forever remain 100% human and 100% divine, which brings up another heresy. Not just the early Jews introducing the heresy, but these various beliefs that either Jesus was not fully human or he wasn't fully divine. The Gnostics, or the precursors to the Gnostics really came out in the second century, but the precursors to them in Paul's time were arguing that material matter, that the physical matter was inherently evil. Therefore, Jesus Christ could not have been a human being. Therefore, it was all an illusion. He didn't even go on the cross. It was like a magic trick. It didn't really happen. Well, Paul corrected all this and said, of course he was fully human and fully divine. Had he not been both fully human and fully divine, God's magnificent salvation scheme wouldn't have worked. And Christ becoming, and I could go on and on. But anyway, so he corrected these heresies. And
that's why you have this beautiful image on the cover of the book of Doubting Thomas, putting his finger into the side of Christ, that yes, right, he died on the cross for us. We're talking to the authors of Resurrected Jesus, David Limbaugh and Kristen Limbaugh. It is out now. It's been out for a few days. Let's make it the amazing bestseller like his previous works have been. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First 101. If you enjoy our in-depth long-form interviews with the real news makers, with the real experts, don't miss an episode. Go to your favorite podcast platform, go to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. It's absolutely free. Write us a 5-star review. It does make a difference, and share the links with your friends. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, code Gorka. Haven't done so already, dear friends, register for our Stand With Israel tour. The end of November, early December, we are spending 10 days in the Holy Land with my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza for the trip of a lifetime. You'll be right there with us on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, standing on the Temple Mount at the Garden of Gethsemane. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me or Dinesh D'Souza, and they've dropped all their COVID restrictions. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going, so you've got no excuse. Call today, reserve your tickets, 855-565-5519, or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That number again, 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. standwithisraeltour.com. David, I want to talk about whether or not we're making headway. I'd like to ask Kristen, especially on the pro-life message, if you think good things are happening, not just with Roe v. Wade. But first, we have to address this thing that's been around, this old saw, this canard, that there are many ways to God. And I love this one you hear a lot. I'm a spiritual person. I don't go to church. I don't believe in institutionalized Christianity, but I'm a spiritual person. Do you address these issues in your book, David?
Oh, absolutely. It's Jesus said, and let's make no mistake, these people say, Jesus is all salt and light. He was never irritated. He was never that emphatic. And Paul was different. He was firm and obnoxious. No, they taught the same gospel, and Jesus was very emphatic about it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through me. That's pretty explicit, pretty explicit. And Paul, of course, said salvation is by faith alone. And to the extent that we deviate from that in our teachings, we are sending people we're jeopardizing people's eternal destiny. Because if you say it's some syncretized religion, you can add things to it. Faith in Christ is not that important.
He's using the big fancy words here. Did you hear that? The author, the syncretized religion. I'm going to translate it for the lay people out there, the millions listening to this show. Some people would have us believe, David, it's like a menu. You can just pick the bits that work and the bits that are difficult. No, that's not for me, right?
That's exactly right. By the way, it must be the IRS calling. I don't know. But sorry about that phone ring.
And you got to have a sense of humor. All right. Yeah. So
the NSA, it can override my silent phone thing. I know it's on silent. But it's on silent. So they add all these things, and I think it's Satan at work, because I know we sound weird, but Paul talks about spiritual warfare. We see it today where there's a total celebration of evil. There's no other explanation for celebrating and glorifying the murdering of babies, the mutilation of young children, the open borders, which lead to 100,000 fentanyl deaths, mostly children a year. And we have the left celebrating this and gaslighting us as if we're the evil people. They're the ones who distort the meaning of language. They're the one who distort the meaning of truth. So we descend into intellectual and moral chaos. And they are around to fill the void with their Marxism.
It's easy, Kristen, for your father and I, we're of a certain generation, to say, oh, dear, everything's awful, youngsters today, et cetera, et cetera. Talk to us from your perspective. Shouldn't we be a little bit buoyed by recent events, especially if I look at the pro-life versus the pro-abortion movement? I just see young faces at these events. What are you seeing?
I completely agree. And I think that when the pendulum sways one way, the good thing is that Jesus uses evil for good oftentimes. And so many people are waking up to the real spiritual forces that are at work right now in our society. And people, Christians in particular, have been praying for the fall of Roe versus Wade for 50 years. And here we are in 2022, and Roe has fallen. And so I think that it's so important that we take time to recognize that God did this, that at the end of the day, he is the one who brought this forward. And there's also so much work that has been done. Like, for example, I believe there are 9 times as many pregnancy centers as there are abortion clinics. And that's all thanks to the hard work of Christians and conservatives in this country. And so I think that we have to remember that there are so many of us in this country who still believe in the goodness of the founding fathers' vision for America, it being a nation based on Christianity. And we have to continue meeting together, praying together, and raising up our children with these values and not giving in to the different influences and culture that would try to muddle these ideas and confuse us from the purity of our founding fathers' vision for America.
I know we've already won, David, thanks to our Lord and Savior. So we have to be, as Christians, optimistic. But when you look at what's happening down here on Earth, do you feel good about recent developments, or do you still think this is an uphill spiritual battle?
Oh, I think it's always going to be an ongoing spiritual battle. Satan will never rest, and demonic forces will never rest. However, I think I'm encouraged by the fact that the left has shown its full colors. And we knew, those of us who have any discernment at all, knew what they're capable of. Obama, they go, these people on the left are way more extreme than Obama. And that's only because Obama did what he could get away with at the time. He's probably still pulling the strings today. He outright hates America. He hates everything it stands for. And so the entire modern left does. And you'll notice, Sebastian, that no one in the Democratic Party, no one, including Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema, will stand up against anything these people, like Manchin did for a while. Ultimately, they all fall in line. So they might as well all be AOCs. And so we have our work cut out for us. But I'm encouraged by the fact that there's such a backlash. Donald Trump would never have become president if it hadn't have been for the excesses and extremism of the left. And what's going on today is that, as they've shown their colors, I don't care what these people say, these eggheads, these liars, these propagandists say, the polls are not changing. We are not in jeopardy of a red wave, of losing this red wave in November. We are going to shellack them up and down the board. Now, they may cheat. You can talk to Dinesh about that over the tour. And I am worried about that. But as you said, God is in control. But I ultimately think we are going to win this thing. I haven't given up on America, and I don't think the rest of us patriots have. They don't know how much they've unleashed a tiger here in the rest of us.
Yeah, the remarkable thing is that for the first time ever, the Democrat Party, there are no sane people. You don't have to be a fan of Bill Clinton, but at least in the 1990s, now and again, he'd rein in the crazies. Nobody, yeah. Chuck Schumer, Pelosi aren't reining in the crazies. They're letting the crazies run the asylum. And that's when most American people who aren't political look up and say, hang on, there's something wrong about this. Doubling the Vietnam death toll of 10 years in 1 year of fentanyl overdoses. You're absolutely right. The book is The Resurrected Jesus. We're talking to Kristen and David Limbaugh, the co-authors. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We've got 2 more years of this clown show. Do you have a plan B? I do, because next time it won't just be baby formula. It'll be staples that you need for your family to survive. I've got 2 months' worth of emergency food from the best in the business, My Patriot Supply. Right now, they will give you $250 off the 3-month supply if you go to my link. It lasts for 25 years. It's delicious. Go today. You can't be the person. You can't be the father, the grandfather who's stuck in incapacitated, unable to feed your loved ones, your family, your children, your grandchildren. Go today, right now, preparewithgorka.com. Get $250 off. That's preparewithgorka.com. Be the person who has a plan when things get even worse. Preparewithgorka.com. Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Sebastian Gorka here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to the current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with Brandon Tatum, Vody Bochum, and Chad O'Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com. All right. I don't know if you know my faith background, David. I'm a cradle Catholic, born and bred. My father was a Catholic. My mother was a Calvinist. She had to sign that contract when they got married, that the son, the children would have to be raised as Catholics. 13 years with the Benedictines at school. Then I went to the Jesuits for college, the real Jesuits, the original ones, not the woke Jesuits. So I'm going to open a can of worms now, David. It's the faith versus works. Talk to us about how you address this perennial issue for Christians in your latest book of works versus faith.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know that Catholics are reputed to be faith plus works. And we talk about the alleged contradiction between James and Paul. And I don't think there's actually a contradiction. I think James was talking, when he used the word justification, he was using it in the sense of sanctification. I won't get into theology here, but let me just say this. I don't believe it makes any sense for it to be faith plus works, despite the fact that throughout the Bible is clearly salvation by faith alone. But logically, it makes no sense for God to have had his son become a human being if he didn't need to, and if there was anything we could do to save ourselves. So I have no question that salvation by faith alone. And I don't think, by the way, that Catholics really believe that it's faith plus works. They just define justification a little differently from what I've understood. Now, when I hear Catholic people talking about it, Catholic priests, I think they would agree that it's mostly, or it is, salvation by faith alone. But I'm no expert. If they don't agree, then I don't agree with them. As much as I love Catholics, I'm not a full-blown five-point Calvinist either. I'm kind of a hybrid between an Arminian and a Calvinist.
So you're a Calvinist like my mother.
No, I'm an Arminian. I'm in between Arminian and Calvinist.
Interesting.
In other words, I don't believe God elected people from inception randomly to go straight to hell and arbitrarily. No offense, Calvinists, but some of my favorite writers are Calvinists. They're the most scholarly. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And I rely on them. And so I don't denigrate that. There's scriptural warrant from both sides, in my opinion. Jesus doesn't want to lose any sheep. He wants everyone to be saved. That's throughout. So I don't think that the idea of the elect to the point of people don't have any choice at all, I don't buy that. I do think God pursues us. I think it's the work of God and all that, but I don't think ultimately we also have to accept and receive Christ in our hearts. But the point is, it's paradoxical and all that. Bottom line, if you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be just fine, regardless of whether I'm right theologically.
Nicely done. Now you walk the tightrope very nicely there. Kristen, talk to us about why you both decided, your father mentioned that you're including prayers in this book about the early church, about St. Paul. Why was that important to both of you?
Well, I think it's so that you can take the scriptures and really apply it to your life on a personal level, because that's what our faith is all about. You know, we don't just read the Bible to gain knowledge. We do this so that from that knowledge, we can bear fruit and go forth and do good works for God and let his purposes work through our lives. And so through the book, we are dissecting these scriptures, trying to help them, the reader, absorb them on a lay level. And then we take prayers that correspond directly to the scriptures, and we allow the reader and create an opportunity for them really to have a conversation with God right then, right there, and ask him to highlight in their personal lives what he wants them to absorb and use in their lives from these scriptures.
Fascinating, fascinating. David, why was it important for you to put prayers in your latest book?
Well, I just, to add to what she said, she is a prayer warrior, spirit-filled, and I sometimes think, Sebastian, I'm too much on the head side. Not that I'm intellectual, but my bent is to study, and that's how I overcame my intellectual doubts. And so that is my emphasis, and I want to be more experiential. I want to have it more in the heart. You have to ultimately accept Christ in your heart. It's not just a matter of believing in Christ in the sense of intellectual assent. The demons believe and shudder, meaning they know he's God. Of course they know, and they know what their eternal destiny is. They're already there. But we have to know, and we have to do something more. We have to accept Christ as our Savior. We have to rely on, lean in, trust him for our eternal salvation in order for us to have salvation. And so I love these prayers because they draw us closer to God. They are interactive. It's like a devotional now. This book it helps readers understand like a commentary, but it also, it kind of urges them to interact with the book, which is about Scripture, and with Scripture itself. And we ask God to help them as they understand it, and we ask God to help show them what they need to do in their lives to be a better witness for Christ and to help evangelize. I just think these prayers really add in a qualitative way. It's a difference in kind rather than degree from my earlier books.
It's such a good point that the demons know he's God. Come on, guys. If the demons can know that he's God, we got to step up to the plate in our real faith. The book is The Resurrected Jesus. Dear friends, you heard the news from Tuesday. 40 individuals working with or associated with President Trump were subpoenaed by the DOJ, were hijacked, were ambushed. That's why it's more important than ever to support conservative companies. When my phone records were subpoenaed by the January 6th committee and Verizon caved, I said, that's it. You're giving up my wife's phone records, my children's phone records to the witch finder general. I switched immediately to the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America, Patriot Mobile. Join the good guys. They're on your side. They love America as much as you do. They have the same nationwide coverage. They have plans to fit every budget and special discounts for veterans and first responders. Switch today. You can keep your old number. Call 972-PATRIOT or go to patriotmobile.com/Gorka. Free activation with my name. Don't fund your enemies. 972-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA. All right, David, here's the big question. Here's the real tough one. I came to the conclusion about a year in that thanks to COVID, we now know that the greatest problem we have in America is courage. The virtue that makes all other virtues possible. When companies were told to close down, schools were sending children home, Americans didn't stand up, and especially church leaders didn't stand up. Will you talk? It's not, you know, it has a great deal to do with St. Paul and his courage in the face of persecution. But will you give us your take, please, David and Kristen, on the state of the church and the state of courage in America? Let's start with you, David.
Well, inside the church, there are so many people who want to please man instead of pleasing God. Therefore, they will dilute scripture in order to conform it to the culture so that people won't cancel them and people won't think they're meanies. And so they won't stick to pure doctrine, which is a travesty and a blasphemy. As to the secular side, although it's overlapping, I think there are so many examples of people not standing up. It's why the conservatives, the Republicans, have been ineffective over the years, because we wouldn't recognize the evil of the left for what it was, and therefore we wouldn't take the appropriate steps to stop them. Jesus didn't come to unite. He said, I came to divide mother and father, sister and brother, because I am the truth. He represents truth, and he's not going to allow truth to be polluted. And so we don't need to reach across the aisle to deal with people who are impervious and who are impenetrable to logic. It's all about the things behind the scenes. Look at, for example, will anybody stand up in this culture and challenge Darwinism, even though we know that macroevolution is insane when it comes to trying to provide an answer for life, how life began, how a material existence began? Nobody has the guts, because we've been indoctrinated for 100 years.
Can I just stop here, because this is so close to my heart. This is an ideology, and it is, because we know, if you look at just the science, I'm not one of these God created the world in, you know, 6 times 24 hours, but you look at Darwin, and it's, excuse my French, crap science. There isn't enough time in history, even if you use billions of years, for the incremental changes that evolution says occur. So number one, it doesn't work based upon the record of the fossils. And then secondly, we're talking about an ideology that was foundational to things like eugenics and fascism. Why can't people say the obvious? We know that Hitler loved this stuff.
Because they don't want to be thought of as idiots, because there's no independent thinking in this world anymore. Environmentalism is even worse now. Yeah. I mean, the insanity these guys are. We now have electric cars being powered by gas-powered generators in California. I mean, I could go on forever about that. And yet, I see conservatives on Fox all the time. I love Fox. I represent a bunch of people. But I see a bunch of conservatives saying, yeah, climate change is terrible, but we need to move in to it more real. No, it's BS. This climate change is not caused by man. We cannot affect the global thermostat a minuscule amount in 100 years, and all the studies show it. So even if it is man-made, we're screwed, because we can't do anything about it. Ultimately, it's a Trojan horse for Marxism.
Yeah,
I know I'll come across as an idiot, a raving lunatic. The facts are on our side. They suppressed real science. We saw how they suppressed science with COVID. These people are all political all the time about everything. They're not about science.
Yeah. It's like, I think it was a British commentator, James Dellingpole, said that the environmental movement is a watermelon. It has a thin veneer that is green on the outside, and it is deep, deep red Marxism on the inside. And he's absolutely right. It's about control, controlling what you drive, what you eat, and eventually creating state control over everything. Kristen, talk to me about my appraisal of the last 2 years and the state of bravery amongst Christians in America.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. The church in America is absolutely lacking courage. And I think that we're also lacking just a sort of purity that the first century church had, and that has actually ironically started to come back thanks to COVID, because there have been many who have taken the church out of the building and have started worship and revival movements across the country for people who just wanted to gather together and worship God and commune with one another. And the book of Hebrews tells us never stop neglecting meeting together, praying for one another. And I think in the church in America, we really have got to get back to our roots, the vision that Jesus had for the church and for the Holy Spirit to really move freely among us. We have to get back to the heart of God and not so much kind of like a consumer mentality where we're only going to church to hear a message that can help us on a personal level. Yes, God is a personal God who works with us on in a very personal way. He died for us as individuals and he loves us as individuals. But we also have to remember that we have a higher calling as members of one body of the church whose head is Christ. And we are called to follow him and discern what he wants from our lives and really submit our ways to him. And so I pray that evil can produce more good in this country, that it's waking Christians up around the country to really prioritize their faith first. And so I think that is the silver lining in this.
Yeah, there are more and more good men, courageous women who are doing something. On that note, please, I just want to warmly recommend to everybody who's watching and listening my friend Larry Elder's new film. It is Uncle Tom 2, the movie. It's even better than the first one. You see what these policies, what this cowardice, what this socialist ideological power grab did for black America. I am a white American and I was incensed in just the first 5 minutes, just the footage of the incredibly prosperous black families that were destroyed. Find out the secret plan is of the NAACP, the real origins of Black Lives Matter. It's an incredible film. You can watch it through us at salemnow.com. You won't regret it. You need to understand what's happening out there, which will affect all Americans, and it's happening right now. That's Uncle Tom 2, the sequel to Larry Elder's superb first movie, and you can watch it at salemnow.com. You're listening to America First, one-on-one with David Limbaugh and Kristen Limbaugh, the authors of The Resurrected Jesus, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating 500,000 Americans right now, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Yvonne from California. This is her story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Just those two words, pain-free, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me, Yvonne, and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. Do it today. You've waited long enough. What have you got to lose? Well, except for the pain. Call now, 800-500-8384. You know it makes sense. Don't delay another day. ReliefFactor.com. That number again, 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
You told us we're going to be time to panic. Well, is it time to panic? Well, let me just tell you, folks, it's never going to be time to panic because we're never going to give up. We're not going to give up on America. I'm not. I don't think most of you are either. America's worth it. America is worth fighting for. America's worth not giving up.
It's my favorite cut from the great Rush Limbaugh, not long before he left us. Why we never give up, why we never give in, why it is un-American, why it's un-Christian to despair and give up. We miss your brother every single day, David. Will you give us your take on why we never, ever must despair or give up?
Because what we are fighting for is eternal. What we're fighting for is true. And the nation was founded on those true principles. We're about everything that's good and holy. Not we are, but we adhere to those things. We advocate those things. We're facing evil. We have a duty, a God-given duty, to be obedient and support those things that we know to be true. And this is the freest, most wonderful nation in the history of the world. And we patriots have an obligation to make it persevere, to continue to fight for it. We have ancestors who gave their blood and who died for us. We owe it to them. We owe it to the founding fathers. We owe it to our progeny. We owe it to our daughters and sons and their daughters and sons and so on to fight for this great country. Without this country, they will not live in liberty. Without liberty, we will not be free to worship Jesus Christ. We will not be free to prosper, and nor will the rest of the globe. We are the leaders for the entire globe. As the United States goes, so goes the globe, so goes people. Marxism leads to impoverishment and slavery throughout, always has in history. Capitalism and foundational Christian principles and the constitutional system leads to liberty, leads to prosperity. We have to fight. There's nothing more worth fighting for than the principles we are here endeavoring to fight for. So we can't give up. We won't give up. And I'm confident in the end we're going to prevail. Even though I sound negative sometimes, that's to alert people, to wake people up. And as Rush said, we got to keep going. It's all worth fighting and dying for in the end.
God bless you, David. God bless you, Kristen. It's very simple. We have a duty to the truth, and I have an obligation to David Limbaugh, who, when I was a complete newbie in this industry, held my hand, helped me out, gave me some very, very solid advice as a new radio presenter. So I am indebted to you, David Limbaugh. It's the new book. You've got to get it right now. The Resurrected Jesus, from the best publisher in the business. It just happens to be my publisher. It's Regnery. And he's got a pretty good Twitter game as well. So follow him at David Limbaugh. You know how it's spelt. Limbaugh. God bless both of you. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you, and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Hey friends, greetings. Why does the left hate certain people so very, very much? One of the great supporters of this show, a close friend of the president, a great patriot, is detested by the forces of the left, especially the deep state. And I think I know why. Here's an explanation from his own lips, standing in the Rose Garden.
God gave us grace on November 8, 2016 to change the course we were on. God had been taken out of our schools and lives. A nation had turned its back on God. And I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families.
If you mention God, the Bible, and our families, you are an enemy of the left and now an enemy of the state. Tucker Carlson broke some news concerning Mike Lindell, and it is shocking.
This is a Fox News alert, and a shocking one. We told you last night that the Biden administration has politicized law enforcement to the point where it feels Soviet, and we were not overstating it. The FBI has just raided the guy who sells pillows on this channel, not because the pillows were bad, but because they don't like who we voted for. FBI raiding the pillow guy. This has got to be peak insanity. If that's true, at some point, you know, this can't continue.
If that's true, well, let's find out. We are honored to have him with us. No monologue on today's show. Instead, we're going right to Mike Lindell's MyPillow headquarters. Mike, welcome back to America First.
Hey, thanks, Doctor. Yeah, it's true. It's all
so
true.
So tell us, walk us through it. What happened? Where were you? What did the FBI do? What did they demand from you? And how did it all end, Mike?
Well, it's kind of ironic because the last 2 weeks on my show, The Lindell Report on frankspeech.com, I've been saying, I hear about the FBI bashing people's doors in Colorado and hear about everything going on with the January 6th stuff. And I said, how come the FBI doesn't come to me and bash my door in? And I know why, because I have all the evidence. They don't want to see the truth. Well, now here's what happened. My friend and I left for Iowa from Minnesota here to go early duck hunting. It's a teal season there. We drove down there. It's a 2.5 hour drive at 4 a.m. yesterday. We get down there. We got 9 ducks. I had to be back by noon to do a bunch of filming for mystore.com for these entrepreneurs, all of them. I had appointments with them all to film them for all their products and stuff. We get to Mankato, Minnesota, which incidentally is where I was born. That's kind of ironic. And I said, you know what? Let's quick go through a drive-through here. We pulled in a Hardee's drive-through. We order our food. She says, can you pull ahead a little? A few things aren't done. We'll bring it out to you. Well, then a car pulled in front of me, perpendicular, sideways. And he's like, I go, what's this guy doing? And I go, Tom, that's weird. Because the guy was sitting there and he wasn't looking at us. And
so he cut then, you off. He cut your vehicle off.
He cut me off, so he's in front of us like this. Then another car comes up the side and boxes us into the right side. Then I watch my rearview mirror, and a car comes flying up the drive-through lane and stops right behind us. So you're boxed in completely, and I go to my friend. I go, these are some bad people. And I go, just stay here. And I open the door, and I said, who are you guys? And they were all random cars and random people, and they And he goes, we're with the FBI. And I said, show me some badges. I don't believe you. So about three of them showed badges. I said, what do you want? Are you arresting me for something? No, we want to talk to you. I said, okay. And so I pulled over to the right there. They pulled the cars apart, pulled over to the right. We get out, and they start asking me questions. There's three guys. I think a couple of them were Colorado FBI, a couple of Minnesota FBI. One gal and at least four of them. There might have been more. And this is because now I'm kind of focused on this circle of FBI guys, and they start asking me questions. One of the first ones were, "You have evidence up about inside a Dominion machine up on your website, frankspeech.com." And I said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "They deleted evidence from the 2020 election," and I said, "I have lawsuits against them, or they do against MyPillow and myself." And I said, the evidence has been up there for all to see since February. Then he asked me another question. I said, does this have anything to do with January 6th? He goes, no. And he said, no, not at all. And I said, well, would you tell those guys? I wasn't there, but I would love to come to their little charade and bring the evidence with me. And he says, Mike, we're focusing on something else here. And I said, no, you need to tell them. If you know other FBI guys, you tell them, because I've reached out to the January 6th people, and I said it's ridiculous. Then I told the FBI guys, I said, I kind of took over the conversation. I said, did you realize that the FBI did a report on June 26th of 2021, a six-month investigation, and they said there is no collusion between Donald Trump and his supporters. It should have been the end of the story, but no. They still have people in prison and everything else from that fiasco.
Mike, did the agent ever tell you why the hell they were stopping you?
Then they asked me, I said, so what is this about? And then he goes, tell us about your airplane. You fly it to all these different states. And I go, What do you want to hear about my airplane? I said, but I'm not. That's none of your business. But if you must know, I said, I go to attorney generals, secretary of states, and other politicians to get rid of these electronic and computerized voting machines. I said, that's what I do. Now, what else you got? Then they asked me when I met Tina Peters. I said, you're the FBI. You know, I met her at the Cyber Symposium a year ago. Of course, you know that. Everybody knows that. And they then they asked when I met physicist Dr. Frank, I think those were the two names. And then I go, you know, you FBI guys, I said, is this all you have better to do than corner me here? All these people watching in a Hardee's drive-thru? I said, why didn't you come and bash my door in like you did all those people in Colorado, like Sharona Bishop? And then Dr. he goes, well, we bashed down Sharona's door because she didn't answer in time.
Hang on. The agent actually said that to you, Mike?
He said that exactly. We bashed her door down because she did not answer the door in time.
All right, now, so how did it end? Is it true they actually took your phone or they tried to take your phone?
Yes, they took it. They took the phone. So after I said that with Sharona, then we talked for another maybe 20 minutes. And we talked about my book and me being an ex-addict and I help in addicts and stuff. And I said, how come you attack companies like MyPillow, but you don't go after these machine companies and they're committing felonies? And then they go, well, we got bad news, Mike. We have to take your cell phone. I go, you're not taking my cell phone. I go, you just will arrest me. You're not going to take my cell phone. I run my companies off this. And then they go, well, we have a subpoena here, and they show me this subpoena. I said, I don't care what that says. I said, you can't take some civilian cell phone that's running five companies. I don't use a computer. Everything I have for these, my recovery network, my store, my pillow, Frank's speech. And he goes, well, and I said, can I call a lawyer? He goes, no. And I said, no, I need to call an attorney to know that this is legit. I said, if I don't give you this phone, are you going to arrest me? He goes, no, but we're getting that phone. And I said, so then he let me call my attorney. My attorney says, Mike, just give him your phone. So they're working on getting that back this morning.
Okay, so hang on. I know we've only got you for one segment, but I want to continue the discussion in the break live on Rumble. In the meantime, let's support Mike right now. They're coming after him. They want to cancel him. Why? Because he's a conservative. Whether it's mystore.com, whether it's Frank's speech or mypillow.com, you've got to go today. Let's show Mike he can't be canceled. Go to mypillow.com, promo code GORKA. Buy whatever you want. There's 150 plus items there. Let's show them that he can't be canceled. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. For the next 3 minutes, I'm going to keep talking to Mike Lindell because we have to get to the bottom of why they are hunting him at a Hardee's drive-thru. What does that mean, guys? You know what it means. It wasn't at his home. It wasn't at his office. It means they were tailing him. Why? Because he's a friend of the president and because he's a conservative. Next, it could be you. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist, former deputy to President Trump. This is America First. Make sure you are subscribed. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name. Plug in the show. Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave a 5-star review. And don't forget, SebGorkaStore.com for all your America First merchandise. Stay on this channel.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.